The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name's Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer of the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz. Bick Truss, Chris Bisignano. I'm a little more upbeat today, Chris. We're doing the call-in cast. I'm always excited about. And, you know,
should be a lot of positivity.
Should be a lot of fun, at least. The airing of grievances.
It will be a lot of fun. That will be.
I keep tweeting the Seinfeld clips. The airing of grievances. It's a Festivus miracle.
Festivus.
I guess to bring back to the days of old, Chris, you know, Tom Landry had Roger Staubach, and I believe it was Craig Morton he would alternate. And come to find out today, what, we're going to alternate Mike Glennon and Jake Fromm in Chicago, buddy. Should be a fun time, huh?
Yeah. Jerry, this season can't end fast.
I know.
We really can't, right? I mean, no, I don't know. Judge came out today and he said he's going to probably start Glennon. And if that's not going well, try Fromm. I don't know. You know, what does it really matter? I mean, the offense is pathetic, as we all know. Nothing's going to work. I think we're safe to say nothing's going to work here. And it's going to be a lot of answers, you know, a lot of questions to Judge. He's going to have to give a lot of answers. Well, it doesn't matter. He could give answers in that building. I don't think it really matters. Anyway, I don't think people are really listening. But anyway, you know, it's just Glennon, whatever. Let's just get the season over with. The next week, it'll be Glennon and Fromm, too.
They're true.
We all know Daniel's not coming back, and they're not going to look at anybody else the last 2 weeks. So this is what it is. What it is. It's at the point now, Jerry. You say, okay, just play Fromm, so the better chance of losing. Yeah. Stay in that fifth or fourth spot, wherever they might wind up.
Yes.
And hopefully, the new GM actually hires somebody who actually knows what they're doing in a building, and then they could actually draft an impact player. You know.
Yeah.
And a draft in the spring. So. That's where we're at. Saquon is. He basically made it known that he's going to play. I don't know why it's even floating around out there about shutting him down. I don't get that at all. He's healthy enough to play. Why wouldn't he play? This isn't high school. Like, you know, we're going to shut him down and come back a senior. The guy's getting paid a lot of money to play. He wants to play. He's still, believe it or not, knocking off a little rust. He feels healthy. Yeah. Why, you know. I don't get that theory at all. They're going to be off in 9 months, 9 months, 8 months to training camp, right?
Right.
Anyway, he basically made it known in a very quick and decisive way that he was asked today about shutting down. He said no.
Yeah.
Saquon is frustrated. Obviously, you know, I see him on his. We are now back at Zoom. With the players.
Yeah.
And he was on Zoom with us today, and he's very frustrated. He's frustrated, obviously, probably with his play, with the team, with the media. Yeah. He's very heavily involved in social media, so I'm sure he's reading about a lot of people, you know, saying what a waste of pick it was, and a bust, and all that stuff. You know, it's tough to read about yourself now. You know, he's not used to that, Jerry. He was the man in Penn State. He came over here his rookie year. He was the man here.
Yeah.
All kinds of commercials. And now, probably for the first time in his life, he's getting a lot of negative feedback on himself, you know. And it's frustrating. It's frustrating times around the whole building. I put on Twitter yesterday, Jerry, about the GM possibilities, what might happen.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about what's going on in the building, what I'm hearing. And just to give a quick, that will be next week. We'll do that. I want to do it before the season ends because, you know, if you do it after the season, who knows? It could be a day they hire a guy or whatever. They bring in three guys and now it looks like I'm just, you know, cop, you know, okay, well, I'm piggybacking. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No,
so we're going to do it next week, Jerry.
Yeah.
I know I promised a lot of people you don't want to miss this podcast.
Yeah.
But just a little preview, dude, and then we'll get back to the Bears. A lot of stuff's coming out now. about what's going on in that building. You could believe it. You can't believe it. You don't want, I mean, you don't have to believe it. But it's nothing that I haven't been talking about for the last weeks, a month or so.
Yeah.
And now these are people that are in the building saying about who can't evaluate talent. The whole building should be blown up. Everybody should be wipe clean. Nobody knows, you know, you got a head of, you know, suppose you got a head of scouting. He's piggybacking with other guys. I'm sure some of it may be not the truth, but trust me, some of it is the truth. And we're going to get into it next week. But all I can tell you, Jerry, and you know this, dude, we talk on a podcast, obviously, off the podcast. But everything I've been telling you about guys, no accountability, guys can't evaluate, Gettleman's running the show, Gettleman's overruling people, it's all coming out now.
Yeah.
And we'll get into it next week, bro, because a lot of stuff, because, you know, a lot of guys are chiming in now who worked in the building, who were fired or, you know, moved on, whatever it might be, and they're saying a lot of things about what's going on in that building. And I kind of been telling you this for the last month or so because people have been telling me. So it's not pretty. We'll get into it next week. We're going to get into some GM candidates, Jerry. You tell me who you might like. Well, I'll tell you who I think they might go. We'll put our heads together. We'll talk about it on the podcast. And what I'm hearing, you know, all that stuff, it should be a pretty good podcast. And I'm going to get into it in a very respectful way of what the hell's going on in that building. And in my opinion, and your opinion, what needs to be changed?
Yeah, okay? a lot of that podcast. You know, I was joking before with Chris. This is going to be like an interview with Chris, right? Because you got a lot of information, and yeah, I jokingly said, like, I don't want to get in the way. I'll have opinions on things, but with some of the stuff that you have, it's going to be pretty good. It's going to be very interesting. I think people are going to like it a lot, or, you know, go crazy, whatever. But yeah, this like you said before, dude, this season cannot end fast enough.
Right.
Whether you're playing Fromm or Glennon or alternating or trying Tony back there, who's got a whole new injury now. Whatever you try back there, it doesn't matter. Just end. I feel like the Jets. Just end the season. But before we get to the Bears,
yeah,
just want to mention the passing of John Madden. Yeah. You put out a great tweet last night.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Jerry. Yeah.
That was one where you could have signed both because it was
absolutely
your youth and getting and falling in love with this sport. Like I said, I started watching the Giants in 83, and that's really when Madden started kind of coming into his own and was always paired with Summerall. Excuse me. And I remember what I remember about that was when you had Madden and Summerall, you had the game. And it was like my dad used to say, I hope we get Madden and Summerall today. And that's all it's all he said. I just hope we get Madden and Summerall. And all due respect to Vern Lundquist and those guys. You know what, Vern Lundquist did a good job with Madden and Vince Scully, even Big Blue VCR, pulling Vince Scully, who's the man in baseball, did one with Madden, Giants Eagles game, right? But Madden and Summerall, it was like peanut butter and jelly. I mean, it's just, it was perfect. And, you know, he was a great coach. And somebody put out there today, real quick, somebody put out, you know, he's really three generations. He was a coach, he was an announcer, and he was the video game guy. And, you know, I probably knew him as the coach and the video game guy. I was a video game Sega Genesis lunatic back in the day. But, you know, talk about a monumental man in the NFL. And one more story about Madden real quick, Chris.
No, get it.
He told the one about, he said he went to see Vince Lombardi. And he goes, you know, I'm going to see Vince Lombardi and I'm sitting in the back of the room. He goes, can you imagine you see Vince Lombardi and you sit in the back? And he goes, that's how dumb I was. And he goes, Vince Lombardi talked about the power sweep for 3 hours, went to lunch for an hour, came back and talked about the power sweep for 3 hours. And John Madden goes, I didn't know a damn thing about football. He goes, that's what I realized. Nice. I don't know a thing. But all kidding aside, he went on to be a great coach, great announcer, and he will be missed, man.
Jerry, that's, you know, look, dude, that's well said. I got to be honest with you, Jerry. Madden obviously was 85. He was, you know, his health was declining a bit, but nobody saw this coming, right? But you're 85. Yeah. It happens, you know, died peacefully and, you know, and all that. I don't know about you, bro. And I was texting with a few people today. I felt like I lost a family member. And let me tell you why, just quickly, okay? Yeah. And I put it on Twitter last night. This dude was a big part of my youth, bro. All right? It was Jerry, I remember when he coached. I remember the way he was on the sidelines. He coached a bunch of lunatics, the Oakland Raiders. They all loved him, bro. Yeah. And these guys didn't love anybody. Yeah. Yeah. They hated each other. They hated the opponents. They hated the cheerleaders. These guys were angry guys.
Yeah.
And they all loved John. And I just being a little kid watching football, he was a big part of it, Jerry.
Yeah.
Because they were always on TV.
Yep.
You know, they were always on TV. And then he leaves coaching. It was that part of my youth. And then he goes into the – and then I never forget when he saw Lawrence Taylor the first few times. And his – he could not believe this guy. Remember, Jerry, the way he used to talk about Lawrence?
Yep.
And then the Giants played all those big games in the 80s. They were winning Super Bowl, two Super Bowl, 90, playoffs, 89, 85, 84. And Madden and Sumrall had those big games, right?
Yep. Yep.
You felt like he was like a family member because I saw him when he was a little boy.
Yeah.
I remember yesterday when they beat the Vikings, Jerry, in the Super Bowl in 76. I was in my grandmother's basement in Brooklyn. And those days, Jerry, the game started like 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
The Super Bowls. Because I remember being sunny in Pasadena.
Right.
Now, today, we all know it's all different, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But in those days, they were 3 o'clock games, Jerry, the Super Bowl. And I remember Chuck Foreman. I remember Tatum when he destroyed Sammy White. I was 10 years old, and I was like, and Madden was going, and I'll never forget Madden being carried off the field, those lunatics carrying him. He was football, Jerry.
Yeah.
John Madden, Coach Stone, in my opinion, probably the greatest era of the 70s. Then he becomes it was like the Giants voice. He did so many Giant games.
Yep.
Like your dad said, well, I hope Sumrall and Madden are on today. We all sat there, and when they had the game, which usually meant it was the best game, right?
Yep.
And the Giants played in so many of them. The way he gushed over Lawrence, the way he gushed over my boy Carl Banks.
Yes, he did.
Yep. Because Madden knew football, bro.
Yeah, yep.
And he made sure that Carl wasn't overlooked.
Yep.
Because... And we've talked about this, Jerry, everybody, me, and I talked to Carl about this the whole time. I apologized to Carl a few times. Like, everybody had their eyes fixated on Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
Because he was the greatest ever to do it. You didn't want to miss a play because you never knew what Lawrence was going to do next.
Yep.
And people forgot about Banks. But then you had that football guy like Madden, and he made sure the audience knew about Carl.
You get
what I'm saying? They knew about Harry Carson.
Gushed over him in that 49-3 game more than any defensive player I've ever seen him talk about. It was almost, well, I don't want to say this again, but Carl Banks makes this play by taking out Russ Francis here.
Right.
And Big Blue VCR will play this for us later. But we always said it. In the 86 playoffs, you had Madden and Sumrall through the Super Bowl. You had him in the Super Bowl too.
Yeah, sure.
And
yeah.
he talked yeah. about Banks in all three of those games. And it was magic, man. It was... You know, you feel like you lost part of your youth. That's what it feels like.
Jerry, and I've talked to a few people, they felt the same way. And you know, it feels like I lost like a long lost uncle. Like somehow or another, I was related to him. That's how it felt when the news hit. Yes, I'm like, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, that's my youth. And it's like, gone, dude. You know what I'm getting at, Jerry? You know, it's like,
yep.
And then the Giant games, you know, and then the Sumrall was it, you got, you know, past Sumrall was the old Giant. You know, and I remember someone talking about the Giants crowds and the loyalty of the Giants fans back in the day.
Yep.
You know, and Madden gushing about Parcells and the defense and this young guy named Belichick.
Yeah.
How he thought he was look what this guy's doing. You remember, Jerry?
Yeah, I remember all of it.
It was just like, and folks, the guy was a great coach, for people who aren't my age or younger, they don't remember John, or they weren't alive yet when John Madden was a coach. The dude had a record of like 107-32.
Yeah, yeah.
The best record in the history of the game for 100 games or more. The guy was an that guy had everybody playing together, and people who don't remember, and people who do remember, they know where I'm coming from. There were a bunch of lunatics in that team. They were insane, those guys.
Yeah, and hearing those guys talk about him real quick, just one more thing. Hearing those guys talk about him, like Phil Villapiano, right? He's a Jersey guy. And he said, and I DVR all the Giant America's games on the NFL Network, but I have the Raiders ones too, because they're interesting teams.
Right.
And Villapiano talks about it. I don't know if, I think it's in that one where he says, this will be the greatest, Madden said to those guys, this will be the greatest day of your life, only if you win. Now go get them. And I was like, oh my God, dude. The Super Bowl Sunday, I was like, that is awesome.
Jerry, I was actually happy for the Raiders back in 76 because they were like in five straight championship games or five out of six, whatever it was, and they kept losing to the Steelers, Jerry, you know?
Yeah.
And they were wars. Yeah. And then in 76, they beat Pittsburgh in the championship game, and they went on and they whipped up on the old Giant, Fran Tarkin, and the Vikings in 76.
Yeah.
And there was so many people, I'm telling you, Jerry, that was just, even, I wasn't a Raider fan, you know?
Right.
But I was happy for John Madden.
Right.
The guy was a phenomenal coach. He had to leave coaching after 10 years. He had ulcers. He just couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
11 years, whatever it was. And Jerry, like I said, when that happened yesterday, it was like, wow, I felt like something dying, like my youth, because I was, you know, such a big football fan. He was a big part of it. And then with the Giants, when they came into their own in the 80s, he was just such a big part of it. I don't want to go on too much about
it. No, it's fine. But you it felt like they were our announcers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They felt like they were our announcers.
So rest in peace to that guy. Dude, and here's the thing, Jerry, just quickly, and we'll wrap it up. We'll go back to the Bears, and we'll go into the calls. Just a humble guy, dude. You know, I'm hearing stories. I heard a story. He owned an apartment in Manhattan, John Madden. And he became friends with a homeless guy.
Wow.
In front of his building.
Yeah.
And Madden got to know him. And the guy turned out to be a Giant fan.
Hmm.
The homeless guy was a Giant fan. And Madden is talking about Giants football with him every day.
Yeah.
This is the type of guy he was.
Yeah, that's awesome.
He used to drive around in that Madden bus. He used to stop in diners, sit with people, and talk football, bro. Humble. Unlike a bunch of assholes that are in today's football and the media and all that who think they're above people.
Yeah.
Okay? This guy who was a god, who was football.
Yeah.
Just a humble dude, bro. And he'll be missed in the sport.
And what announcer do you get now that you get excited about? Are there any?
I really don't get excited.
I used to get excited about Doc, but Doc Emmerich for hockey. I would get excited about. That's it.
Oh, I thought you meant football.
No, I know. I'm saying like in any, like even any
sport. Any sport. I can't really think of one, Jerry.
Right.
You know, I can't think. Don't get me wrong. I respect. I think some guys are really good. But as far as, look, he invented it, Jerry. You know.
Yeah.
He invented it. He came in with the wham and, you know,
boom and the chalkboard.
And you know, when I used to do the Big Tuesdays and shit last year, I found myself doing that. And here's a guy. Look at that hit. Boom. You know, where did I get that from? I got that from Matt. I didn't even realize. But you get it from listening, you know.
Yep.
And your passion for the game. So, Jerry, that guy will be missed in this sport. He really will be, man. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't go on too long with that.
No, it was good, dude. It was perfect.
But, you know, he will be missed, Jerry.
I'm gonna send out the tweet now to everybody. Okay. So they're going to start calling in. But we'll do the Bears now as well. Actually, before we get to the Bears, guys, I got to tell you about the Knuckleheads podcast. It brings on some of the best NBA players, past and present, to have totally unguarded conversations about sports, culture, and basketball nostalgia. The hosts are former NBA players Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles. They're in their seventh season of doing this podcast, and their guests include Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum, Sue Bird, and DeMar DeRozan. That's veterans Richardson and Miles, who are lifelong friends and bona fide truth tellers. Listen as they invite special guests, high-profile athletes, musicians, and entertainers to get brutally honest about everything from current events to untold stories from the golden era of sports and culture. It's named for the on-court celebration they made wildly popular. This unfiltered, hilarious, and surprising podcast is like playing NBA 2K with no fouls. That's the Knucklehead Podcast, folks.
All right. Q Richardson, he had a game, Q.
Yes, he did.
He could play Q.
Yeah. Darius Miles used to do the...
Darius Miles, he had a game, too. He was a good ball player, too, Darius.
Yeah. I'm doing the... fists to the head. I used to do that. Anyway, let's go back to Chicago real quick. I just sent out the tweet to everybody. We'll see how that goes. So,
What do we have, Jerry? Right? Two bad offensive teams. I expect like a 14-10 game, Jerry. I don't know if Fields, their kid, is going to play. He's questionable right now. If not, you might see Foles. Who actually led him to a victory over Seattle last week in a snowstorm.
Yep.
The Giants have Fromm and Glennon. Mm. And They can't move the ball. The Bears, all their injuries, COVID. They're still ninth in the league in defense. So they still got some play. Look, they got Roquan. You know, I ain't going to get into it, but they got Roquan Smith. They have a guy named Ogletree.
Yes.
That's playing good ball for them.
I know. Unbelievable, isn't it?
You know, it makes you wonder what the hell is going on. Anyway, Ogletree is playing pretty decent. Roquan Smith's one of the best inside backers. So I don't expect – I don't know if Akeem Hicks is going to play. He's COVID. He's really good up front. If these guys play – Roquan's playing, but if Akeem – I don't think the Giants are going to score more than 10 points. Why should I believe that, Mike Jerry?
What defense in the league, Chris, could they score more than 10?
Maybe Jacksonville. Maybe.
I just thought of them. That's it. That's it.
Maybe Houston. Maybe. So I, you know, it's just a matter of who's gonna, you know, will the Bears turnovers? You know, it's gonna be a low scoring game. Like I said, Jerry, do we really want the Giants winning this game? They're gonna play to win. The play is no question. Judge is gonna coach them up to try to win, but
yeah,
now it's at the point like, okay, let's stay in the fifth spot or maybe the fourth spot, wherever it might fall. Who really cares anymore? You know what I mean? Like, who cares?
I know. Cares. You know, who, dude.
I mean. Because they're just playing so, and I'm talking about the offense, they're just so non-competitive. It's like, okay, let's just get the season over with, because who really wants to watch 60 minutes of this offense again?
No, not me.
You know, and it's going to be the same story after the game. Oh, why didn't Galladay get more targets? Or why didn't Saquon? Why didn't Booker should be playing? I mean, you know, it's so.
Booker's running better. Why isn't he getting more carries? Right. Yeah.
And Evan Ingram, why is he not being used? Like, why is he not more option routes? A couple of seams.
Chris,
Jerry, I'm
guy.
Telling you, Jerry.
Go ahead. I know what you're going to say.
Jerry, I'm just telling you, dude. I was talking about this with somebody recently. Evan Ingram, if he goes to the right system, when he leaves here, he's going to be much more productive. That's all I'm going to say. Now, I'm not going to say he's going to be a Travis Kelce, because he's not well-defined like Travis Kelce. But I'm just telling you, dude.
Right.
I'm just telling you, dude, when he leaves here, and he's going to be leaving here, if he goes to a right system, he's going to catch balls and he's going to catch some touchdowns, okay? Right. Because no matter what Evan is, and we know he drops and we know he could do some stupid fumble, the Giants just have not used him correctly.
Right.
I'm sorry, dude. It's
I know.
It's this guy should be targeted 10 times a game. What else are we doing?
I was going to say the exact same thing, dude. We just talked about Ogletree. He's going to go somewhere else, and he's going to be productive, and it's going to be sickening because they're going to use him on seam routes. They're going to use him the right way. And look, man, he's done enough. I get it. Like, he's a frustrating player, drops passes, fumbles, but someone's going to figure it out and use him the right way. They just are. It's going to be painful to watch.
It's going to be. I'm telling you, Jerry.
Yeah.
It's coming, brother.
Yeah.
He, you know. Kadarius Toney, like you just mentioned, Jerry, back on the injury report again.
Unreal.
Now it's a shoulder. I didn't even know it even happened. I saw an injury report. God. He was a DNP today. We'll see how he progresses during the week. So he's basically had every body part injured this year. Quad, hamstring, foot, shoulder, two bouts with COVID. Look, it's the kid flashed when he's played, but it's been a disastrous first season for him. Let's face it. It's been a disastrous. You haven't got the kid on the field. Yeah. You know, hopefully he stays healthy next year, because we all know what he could do in this offense. You know, but he's another guy that's got to be used right. And we're going to get into it next week about Joe Judge and what he needs to do when he returns, and I expect him to return, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But he's got to make changes, bro. And I'm going to get into Judge next week, Jerry.
Yeah.
I'm going to get into what I feel he needs to do and this whole organization, the building. And we'll get into that, because even a kid like Toney, Jerry, he's got to be used differently, bro.
Yeah, he does.
You know, the little...
What did you say the other night? I love the way they use Waddle. I'm like, gee, I wonder where Chris is going with this.
You know where I was going with that, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
You know where I was going with that.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, you know, just using Toney, putting him in motion, throwing a little flat route, you're not fooling anybody, dude.
Right.
These teams are not dumb.
Right.
You know? So,
You throw the bubble screen behind the line of scrimmage, like, oh, here comes the pass. Yeah, guys, come on. Got to get a little more creative than that.
And Jerry, you know, Galladay, we're now 15 games in, no touchdown. Did anybody see that coming, dude?
No.
I know he's missed a couple games, too, but did anybody see that coming?
No.
This is the incompetence on this side of the ball. And the buck stops on Joe Judge, too, bro.
Yeah, it does. Sure.
You know? Because you got, you know, your $72 million receiver who's 6'5", 6'4", whatever he is, and he doesn't even have a touchdown, bro.
No, I know. Pathetic.
They haven't had a touchdown from a receiver, I think, in about 9 years. I mean,
it's so bad, Jerry. It's so ridiculous.
It's that you can't even believe it.
No, it's so bad.
So we'll look at the Bears. They're going to have Darnell Mooney. They might have their big boy, Allen Robinson, back. He'll help out Fields. Mm. Montgomery's running the ball pretty good. Their offense, you know, he's just a kid, Fields. He's struggling at times a lot.
Your boy Kemet.
He's got like 50-something catches, you know. Jimmy Graham did some things last week. Yeah. So I think Bears will do enough, Jerry. We'll get into the picks, I guess, whatever, later. But I think the Bears will do enough in Chicago. I think it's supposed to be really cold in Chicago.
Spoiler, Chris, I'm with you on this one again. So
yeah, to take out the Giants, because the Giants just can't score more than 6 points. And this is no slouch Bear defense. They're going to get some guys back this week. And, you know, they got a guy with 17 sacks, dude. I mean, Robert Quinn's got 17 sacks.
Yeah. It's crazy. So,
hey, Joe, just quick, you know, quickly in offense. One, you know, Andrew Thomas, pass pro wise, has been excellent. I think he's given one sack this year.
Yeah.
Look, the run blocking, we'd like to see a little bit more, especially getting to that second level, you know, but he's got a bad wheel, too, you know?
Right.
But I tell you what, dude, going into 2022, for that kid, at least you know you have a left tackle, and I like to see him. I like to see him be fully healthy one season, Jerry, you know?
Right.
Hopefully next season he's fully healthy. And then the rest of the line they're going to have to work on. We all know that. But at least that's one positive.
It is one positive. And left tackle's the most important. But, yeah, it's Gates, Lemieux. You need at least two, probably three guys. You probably need three. Yeah. So,
you know, that's where we're at, Jerry. The Giants should be very proud of themselves. They're no longer 32nd in red zone offense. They're now 31st.
Sweet.
That's an accomplishment.
Hang your hats on that, guys, huh?
That's an accomplishment. So, yeah. There we are, Jerry. Just a game that's meaningless. It's a draft pick game. You know, Giants, if the Giants lose, they, you know, they stay at that pretty high spot. If they win, they're going to move up a few or whatever. And the Bears, they'll be 6-7. What the hell is that? Yeah. I don't think it is.
Yeah. No, yeah, so, and you got to start watching what the Jets and Texans do. But yeah. They're playing. Who would have thought that the Texans would beat the Chargers?
Well, the Jets got what, Jerry? Four wins now?
What's that?
The Jets got four wins, right?
The Jets, Texans, ahead of us? And Giants, they're all tied, but they're ahead because of strength of schedule.
So they're ahead because of strength of schedule. So yeah. I look at the Jets' schedule, they're not going to win a game probably.
I know.
They play Tampa Bay and Buffalo, so they're not winning. Who Texans else, Jerry?
The Texans is tough, too. I forgot.
And Houston's got what, four wins now?
Yeah, they're four as well.
And they're ahead of us strength of schedule, you said?
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to win a game, too, the rest of the year.
I think they're going to beat the Chargers, but I mean, how are they going to win again? I forget who they play.
Yeah, I forget who they play. I think they play two teams.
Is it the 49ers?
No. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is the 49ers.
One of them might
be. Yeah, maybe Houston's in San Francisco this week. Yes, you might be right in that. Yes. Yeah. And I think they play last game against the Colts or something, whatever it is, or Tennessee, whatever it is.
It is the 49ers.
Okay, so the 49ers will win that game. They need that game. And the last game, I think, is against the Tennessee, I think.
Tennessee.
And they're going to need that game. So they're not going to win a game. Barring a major upset, but they're probably not going to win. So you're looking at the Giants being around five, right?
Yeah.
All right. There you go.
There's your boy, Kyle Hamilton at five. Just joking.
No.
All right. We have I know. We have 10 in the audience. It's freaking Riverside. It looks new the way they did this. They used to pop up. So I'm going to click invite and pray to God that not all 10 show up at once.
Well, that would be interesting.
Yeah. Here we go. Sergeant Mayhem admitting.
Oh.
Our boy. This guy tweets everything from us. And I'm letting him in now. What's up, man?
Sergeant Mayhem.
All right.
Yeah. What's going on, man?
All right. So for the guys in the lobby, there's a button on the bottom that says start live call. And it makes you put in your name and a question. And then tell them if you're using headphones or not.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
Chat, that's where it's at.
Awesome.
You want to tweet that, Terry? You think we should tweet that?
Oh, now they're doing it. Adam's next. All right.
Good. We're in.
There we go.
Sergeant, by the way, I got to thank you. I got to thank you first. You retweet everything we put out, man. Like, you're awesome.
I don't retweet everything, but I do like everything.
No, he likes everything more than retweet. But can I ask you something? Right. How the hell you do that so fast? Are you on his Twitter 24 hours a day?
I have notifications on for you guys. The only Twitter account I have.
What's your first name? What's your first name, bro?
Joe.
Joe, I got to be honest with you. There's a few people like we'll throw stuff out there, and I see it like liked instantly. I'm like, this can't be. No way these people on Twitter this fast, you know?
Well, it comes up in the notification bar on my phone, and I can just like it right from there.
Did you know that, Jerry? Jerry probably knew that. He's good with his tech stuff. Did you know that, Jerry?
I don't know what I have set notifications for. So,
where are you from, Joe?
I actually, believe it or not, I'm originally from Long Island. Okay, but I live in Colorado now.
Oh, you're in Colorado? Yeah. Okay, cool. All right.
Colorado.
What's on your mind?
So, I've been doing a little, like, this is like the first or second year that I'm really into more of the metrics of football as opposed to just turning it on and watching a game. And there's something that's been bothering me that I've been doing a little digging on. And everybody talks about the offensive line. I did a little research, and it looks like from 1999 to last year, the Giants have used 23 draft picks on offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. And only five have made it out past their rookie deal. The last one being Justin Pugh, who I'm assuming was, I think it was just his fifth year option. But prior to that, it was like Chris Snee, Dave Deal, like the Super Bowl winning offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Why can't this team, like, with not just linemen, but with any position, why can't they just develop these guys? It's they send these guys off to other teams and they do well. You know, it's like somebody else decides to put in the work. And then we're just like, oh, you've been here a year or two and you're not panning out. So off you go to somebody else's practice squad. And yeah, next thing you know, they're like a starting lineman somewhere.
I'll start with this. I mean, there's a couple things, right? First off, we seem to let go of guys that we don't know what we have. And then we hang on to them too long, right? Like, example, like, okay, he's not lighting it up, but why couldn't Pat Shurmur try Ereck Flowers at guard? And it was asked of him. It was one of the press conferences I was sitting at when someone asked him, are you going to consider playing him at guard? And Shurmur just said, no, he's a tackle. And it was never brought up again. It was never discussed. And to your point about Pugh, I think Weston Richburg's another one. He went on and, look, he didn't light it up, but he was serviceable.
Well, you know, right? The funny thing is I actually saw Weston Richburg play a bunch because I live in Colorado State. Yeah, Colorado State. So I saw him play a bunch. And then when he got drafted by the Giants, I was psyched.
We were all ecstatic. He was
and then
one center.
Nothing.
Yeah, right. Well, also though, remember, who the hell? They put someone else at center first. And they moved Richburg to guard. It was J.D. Walton. J.D. Walton, who his foot and ankle were so bad, they've mangled with Denver. And they put him at center. And it was like, why are you playing Richburg at center? So they started him at guard. So that's one example. Like, why square peg round hole, guys?
Yeah, they immediately set guys up to fail. Yeah. And then when they fail, they just ship them off somewhere else. And then they get stuck back where they should have been playing.
Right.
And, like, utilized properly. And
and
we're just stuck on the sidelines going, damn, we just let that guy go.
Well, that's, Joe, that's coaching, brother. That's drafting. Okay? That's just all part of the shit show that's been going on in this organization for a while. And like JD, you know, like Jerry just said, JD, you know, JD Walton, I was like, what are we looking at here? I mean, you should remember him, Joe. He was with the Broncos, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, look, they move on and they become starting for the team, stuff like that. And you see some of these defensive guys, you know, even the Jonathan Hankins, you know, stuff like that. And it makes you say to yourself, okay, so what are we doing in this building?
Right.
And I could tell you this, Joe. You know, you might want to tune in to the next. Do you listen to all the podcasts, Joe?
All of them.
Well, you make sure you all listen to next week because I'm going to get into it. And everybody has a hand in this, bro. From the littlest scout to the regionals to the Midwest scouts to the director of scouting to everybody. And, you know, this is why this team is in this state because they're drafting guys, you know, that are maybe third or fourth round talent. They're making first, second round picks. They go to the teams. All right, they're serviceable. All the teams, they're not bad. They play. So what does that tell you? That tells you that they're not coached up right when they were here, bro.
Yeah.
If they're all of a sudden up in another level on another team, well, guess what, Joe? They're getting coached up better than that team.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
They're getting coached up better than that team. Or they're in a better scheme. Or better yet, Joe, they're fitting this scheme they're in. It could be a zone runs, gap runs, counters. Whatever their scheme is better fit for their talent. All right. Now, Judge talks about this all the time. Oh, no, we're going to put out guys and we're going to make sure we forget about. Don't tell me what they don't do. Tell me what they do do. Well, I tell you what, Joe, what are we seeing the last 2 years? I'm talking about Joe Judge. Tell me, Joe Judge.
I know.
What are we seeing that you are putting these guys where they do, you know, it's what they excel at? I don't see it. You know, you can talk a great game, but I don't see it. You know what I mean?
None of us see it. I mean, we see the product on the field on Sundays, and it's
right.
It's ridiculous.
So, you know what, Joe? And this is Sergeant Joe now. You know what, Joe? You go to another team, and they actually put in what you do well, or your scheme-wise well, and this is one of some of the reasons why these guys they play better in another organization. Okay? Because there's a lot of stuff here going on in this building, like Jerry just said, not that Eric Flowers is some kind of Pro Bowl guard now. He's not. He still does a lot of the same stuff Washington. But he earned himself another contract with Washington. Okay? Right? He's kind of found a home, okay, at the guard position. So why didn't the Giants say, you know what? Let's look at Eric. He can't block any outside. He can't block speed guy. Let's look at him. Let him play next to some space. You know what I mean? Let's cut down his space, play inside, and see what he can do. Never happened. One of the many reasons, Joe, why this organization has lost seven of the last 8 years double digits.
Well, the other thing, Chris, is I'm really afraid now with the history shows that, you know, we're not developing these guys. And what happens to Matt Peart next season? Well, obviously, we're going to kind of put a pin in that because he's probably going to be out a majority of next year.
With
the new injury.
Yeah, I hear you, Joe.
You know, if he comes back, like, are we just going to, we're just going to cut bait on Matt Peart when we can just kick him inside and try him at guard at least? You know, sure. Or, like, God forbid, we draft three offensive linemen in the upcoming draft and we mismanage them completely. I'm a big fan of the kid from NC State,
mm-hmm.
Akeem Ekwonu.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is unbelievable. And then I'm thinking about how much I want us to draft him, but then I don't, because I don't want them to stunt his career by mismanaging his talent.
Yeah, I was gonna say, taking up too much time.
Okay,
we got a couple waiting. I was gonna say, it seems like the only guy they seem to do that with is Nick Gates, where they've tried him at different spots. But you're right. Even if Peart can be healthy by September, say that's a stretch, probably would they try him in a different position? I don't know. But Joe, thanks, Sergeant Joe. Thanks for checking in, man. We really appreciate it, dude. And thanks
fellas.
And
I know I speak for everybody when I say we appreciate. Everything that you guys do as far as getting us through these wilderness years 2.0, let's call it.
Yeah, you're right, nice. Joe. Thank you, Joe.
All righty.
Be safe, brother. See ya.
I'm admitting Adam now. Adam's been waiting. What's up, Adam?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, man.
Adam, what's up?
I spoke to you guys the first time you ever did something like this.
You're a Manhattan guy.
That's correct. Yeah, I was the guy who said, boy, I was all in on Judge, and Belichick recommended him, and it was definitely all that stuff. Boy, what a year! What a difference of 9 months.
Unreal. Are you still all in?
No, I am not all in. I'm all in on sadness and apathy and everything else that you wanted to describe this organization. Let's be honest; your podcasts are more interesting than the games.
You know? Thank you.
They really do, because I mean, listen, it comes out. You're angry and you're apathetic, and you have, you know, you hear the leaks that go on. You know, whether it be on draft picks, what they're going to do, or, you know, what's going to happen here, that they're already decided about Judge's here, and that Jones decision. The Jones decision is going to be what it is. You have to keep him for next year just because of his contract, and you just don't pick up that option.
Yeah.
I don't think. Listen, for me, you know, Jones is like someone you date. It like when it says, "Are you going to marry that person?" And you're not sure. And if you're not sure, that's an answer. And he just does not move within the pocket like any other quarterback does. He still does the same things. And he's a light. Listen, he works hard. He's a good guy. You know, he fits to what they want as a quarterback, but it just doesn't come together. And if you have to make that, it's always I need more information. That is information. I guess the thing is, when, as a fan looking at a team here and what they're going to do here in terms of a GM search and how that's going to be, and you read all these articles that are coming out now about, you know, a lot of people going after him, the former scouts and all that stuff, and you're seeing that, you don't even know what to believe, but we can agree that there is a fundamental problem here with the ownership and what's gone on here with Mara, and whether it be the nepotism, his
Adam,
brother.
Yep. Adam, quick question. You listen to every podcast, right?
I do.
Have you heard me say the last month or so about how these people that are personnel evaluators are horrible and everybody's got to get cleaned out of the building? Have you heard me say that?
I agree, but will it happen?
No, listen. No, I'm getting to a point. You've heard me say that, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay, now you notice how people are leaking that out now on social media. Ex-scouts are saying that this guy can't evaluate, this guy can't evaluate, this guy should be gone. They kept this guy way too long. Now, have you noticed that coming out now?
I do.
This is what I've been saying. Look, when I say something, Adam, I just don't say like somebody's blowhards. They just try to get clickbait and they try to say things. I say them because people who I know are reliable are telling me this. So now it's starting to come out. Point being, what I'm saying, Adam, is that everybody's got to go, brother. There's too many people on, as Carl Banks would say, there's too many people on scholarship in that building.
We agree.
There's no accountability in that building.
Adam, your concern is it's not going to happen.
Yeah, how do you, I mean, I
don't blame you.
I mean, I'm sorry, but, you know, the Abrams, you know, listen, the first thing comes down to Abrams, okay? if Abrams is there, we're done. It's over.
Don't worry about that. He's not going to get the job.
Okay, I know, I hear you, but this ownership is just, you know, what it is. So the question is, you know, how much power does Judge have, okay, with in terms of, because you don't even know who's making the decision in terms of the evaluation of these players, you know how they drafted. I thought Judge had more of a role here because, you know, with the Georgia and Alabama, with Smart, with, you know, guys like McKinney and Thomas, those picks were made like
it
the way they
were. Gettleman's call.
All Gettleman.
Gettleman made the decisions.
So the question is how do you, you know, the job is, it's New York Giants, they treat people well. How do you make this job appealing if they're going outside this organization when you're already making the decisions that you're making before you ever even started a search?
Well, what has to happen, Adam, is this. Look, there's going to be some guys that are going to be very – look, it's a very appealing job no matter what.
Yeah.
It's going to be an appealing job. It's the Giants. It will be an appealing job. Okay? But the guy that's coming in might – look – if it's a New England connected guy, he might say, listen, I know Joe. I have no problem. We'll keep, I have no problem working with him. I'll give him time, a year, whatever. But he's going to have to make changes here, here, and here. If John Mara says, well, that's going to be up to Joe and, you know, I love him and all that stuff, then you're not going to get your guy. You're not going to get your guy. But here's the thing. This is going to be a huge hire next month, a couple weeks when I talk about it. This is going to be a huge hire. Because the guy that comes in here is going to have to say, John, this has to be done. Boom, boom, boom. And Mara's going to have to say, no, it's your show. You do it. Now, if Mara starts butting in and saying, oh, no, I like Jerry Foley. No, I want him to be still director of Cloak Post. Oh, I want this guy. I like him. He gets me coffee. I want him. Then it's going to be the same shit show over and over. If Mara doesn't change in his philosophy and what they're doing in that building, Adam, it's going to be the same thing over and over, but with a different name attached to it.
The good thing is, Adam, I think you're going to know very quickly based on who they hire and how quickly the moves happen. Absolutely. So right now we're in limbo of maybe the worst two games I've ever wanted to watch in my life. The most apathetic, ambivalent feeling I've ever had watching two games, Bears-Washington. But I think the second this ends and whoever they hire, you're going to know quickly the conversations that have happened based on the moves that they're doing. I think it's just going to be something very quick.
I mean, Chris, doesn't this remind you of the Pisarczyk, Jerry Goldstein days right
Absolutely.
Now with these quarterbacks? But here's Absolutely. The thing. But here's the thing. When a report from Schechter comes out like it did on Sunday, right?
What did he say? I don't remember. Remind me.
Schechter says that, hey, Judge is going to come back and Jones is your quarterback. When that decision's already made, how does that give you confidence that they're going to do the right thing? That's already out there.
Adam, I have zero confidence
Adam, listen to me.
I know.
Zero confidence in John Mara and what he's going to do.
Yeah.
Zero. Mm. Okay? Now, we'll see who they bring in. But if you're asking me, now he could turn around, John, and bring in a guy, a young mind, maybe for, the guy from India, the guy from New England, if Bill decides to let him walk. It could be maybe a guy who's been around the block, like a Pioli, whatever it might be. And we'll see. You know, because a guy like Pioli comes in and goes, no, John, I'm doing it. I'm bringing in my tree now of scouts, and we're going to do this. And then you could say, okay, this might work. But you're asking me if I have confidence in John Mara, he's going to do the right thing right now? What confidence could you have in him?
No.
Since his dad died, he's this organization has gone down.
Well, we're supposed to make you feel better, Adam. It's not.
No, you know, it's not going to happen. One other thing, and I know this is, and listen, you know, Mara is all about his, you know, so insecure, right? He didn't go in, the retirements of what Strahan, and you know, he didn't like getting booed. Would he ever have a role for Eli Manning in this organization?
I think if Eli Manning wanted it, it's there, right?
Chris? I think if Eli wanted it, it's there.
You know, you think about credibility, right? That would give him I could just see, as weird as that sounds, right? You know, here he is still in Jersey. I mean, could you see him, you know, in terms of maybe like a president of the organization?
Well, look, thing? Adam, look who the president of football operations is in Miami.
Elway.
Miami. It's Dan Marino.
It's Marino, right?
Then you got Chris Greer and Brian Flores working together. And then you got them reporting to Marino. And then Marino's reporting to the owner, Ross saying, Ross. Hey, listen, we got to do this. This is what I've been calling for, Adam. They should have a president of football operations who's like a concierge in New York here. You know, you know what I'm getting at. It's like a concierge. Says, we're going to whack this guy. We're going to whack this guy. I'm going to handle it, John. John, do me a favor. Stick your nose out of this. I'll take care of it. And that's why I wish a Phil Simms would be interested in it, something like that. I really do.
I just wonder if he would reach out to someone like Eli or something like that, Mara, because he's so...
Well, Eli is in the building. Eli has that community job, whatever he's doing, you know. But I don't think Eli... See, here's the thing, Adam. And this is why I talked to Carl Banks. You know, so many people ask Carl about being a coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. They don't want to be there from 5 in the morning to 12 o'clock at night.
Right.
They don't want to do those, Adam. They don't want to do those hours, dude.
No, I agree. And Eli's got young kids. And Eli has young kids. He's not going to
want to. He's got young kids. He likes what he's doing. He could do his business. He does his commercials. Now, if you give
a boatload of money doing that stuff.
Right. He's making a boatload of money. He's doing Monday night games from his basement. Now you do that, and it's like, whoa, now you got to be there at 5 in the morning. You got to eat all that stuff.
One last question for you guys. Do you know, he did a sham of a whole process when he used the Corsi to get to Gettleman, right, as an advisor. And he kept that in-house. He interviewed, you know, Abrams, Ross, Gettleman, and Lewis Riddick, right? Who are they going to – who is helping them this time?
Don't know.
Right?
Nobody yet that I know of.
No, and that's another thing, right? You already heard reports that I think Peter King reported that he didn't have an interest in the job.
Yeah.
That's the fact that that's out there like that. That's concerning.
But Adam, this is why I've been tweeting, and this is why I've been talking about. Hey, John, shut your mouth about Judge. Stop putting it out there. What has this guy done that you say? Oh, I love him. He's going to be out. Like, are you kidding me?
The PowerPoint presentation must have been awesome on day one, Adam. That's all I can think about, man.
It must have been, boy. But I do about face. You know, you have that probability percentage. What percentage of the fan base wants Judge? I want the right person in here to oversee this organization because they are antiquated and behind the times. And there is so – I mean, the cap space – They're so many years away. You know, we talk about draft position. We look at these draft picks. It does not matter unless you have the right person making these selections.
Yeah.
You can go all you want on that. Absolutely. You know, I look at it and like, oh, they should draft the kid from Iowa, the kid, the offensive lineman from Alabama and North NC State, you know, and all that stuff. Or, Hutchinson or the kid from Purdue. It doesn't matter. Because if you don't believe in the people who are making these selections, you're done.
And then we just had a call. The guy chimed in, Sergeant Mayhem, and then developing those guys. You have to develop them, too. You can't ruin them.
It's a key thing here. Yeah. I mean, listen, we were raised on linebackers, okay?
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, side to side. Other teams have it. This organization, for some reason, they just don't believe in it. And now, obviously, losing Martinez hurt. But, you know, Micah Parsons would have made a big difference. And everyone said there was a character issue with him. You had a guy on for your on your draft preview.
Yeah.
That never came out.
Yeah.
And you know what? They passed on him. I mean, would you trade Tony and that first-round pick of Chicago for Parsons right now?
No. And you know what? From what I understand, that didn't really scare Gettleman. This, you know, the couple of things that Parsons had going on in college, whatever it might have been, that didn't even scare Gettleman.
Which is even worse,
because
that makes it even worse.
Tony didn't have Kadarius. Tony didn't have this angelic background either in Florida.
Right.
He wanted another weapon. He got another draft pick, and he thought he made the move of the century.
But that even explains it further, right? If you're building an offense, they started from the outside and forget the inside. You have to start on the inside with the line and then go outside.
Exact same mistake.
You added all these guys, the Galladay, you know, Rudolph.
The exact same mistake Reese made. At least Reese tried with Flowers, Pugh, and Richburg. But yeah, it was a lot of building from the outside.
Adam, we got people on the line, but I'm going to leave you with this one thing.
Yes, guys.
Dave comes in and says he's a Hog Molly guy. Well, there was a Hog Molly at 11 of Rashawn Slater.
Yep.
He traded back and took a receiver. Enough said?
Enough said.
Thank you.
Okay, later, guys.
Adam, great thanks, work. Man.
Take care, Adam.
See you, buddy. Be well, guys. Thank you.
You too, man. Trevor Donnelly chiming in.
What's up, guys? Can you hear me?
Hey, man. What's going on?
Nothing much. I was just thinking, too. It's like with injuries this season, it's like us and the Ravens I just seem to get like clobbered. And I think at one point you have to start questioning the training staff and like how these guys like with the injury prevention. Because it seems like every week we're just like losing more people like week in and week out.
Trevor, you look around the league, dude, and there's so many guys with these quads and hamstrings. I think it's the way these guys train, Trevor. I can't just blame Ronnie Barnes and their guys because, look, if nobody else was going through these injuries with quads and ham, I'd be like, what the hell's going – but the whole league is doing it, dude. It's the way these guys are training, man. They're not training for football. They're training – I mean, it's – I never see any – how could a quad get pulled? It's the biggest muscle – you know what, Trevor – I can't go there. I can't just blame the training staff because it's all over the damn league. It's all over the damn league. What these guys do in the offseason, I don't think that they're not training for football, bro. For football, you know? And then not to mention, Trevor, okay? These practices now, right? During the week, they're bullshit.
It's like
Wednesdays now are down to 1 hour. And they just a walkthrough, basically.
And training camp too, Chris, ain't what it used to be.
Training camps in shorts. They do a little running, some pads here and there. Nobody hits anymore. So you're not running Thursday and Friday. Not too much running. They work on their game plan. They stop. They do this. Dude, you got your receiver, your skill positions. You got to run, bro. These guys are not even running anymore in practices. A little bit. It's like. And I blame the players union on this. The players union wanted all this cut downs. Training camp, practice during the week. Now practices are 1 hour on Wednesdays. All of a sudden, everybody – I talked to Mike Quick of the Eagles a couple weeks ago, the old Eagle, Mike Quick. He's associated with the Eagles. And he just shakes his head. He goes, yeah. He goes, we're practicing an hour depending on what the trainer says. I mean, what are we doing here? This is football. So I blame the players union on a lot of this stuff, bro, because they're not working football-wise anymore, man. It's ridiculous. And they better look into it because so many guys are out this year. I have never seen, Trevor, and I've been watching football since the 70s, I have never seen so many quad injuries. And, dude, and you don't have to listen to me. Carl Banks says it all the time. I've talked to guys from all the teams when I see them on Sundays at Giant games. Everybody's perplexed by, like, what's going on, you know? They don't train like for football-wise anymore, you know. So I can't go to Jeb. I don't know how you feel, Jeb. I just can't blame Ronnie Barnes and his.
No, it's funny. The first person I think that started this, and don't think I'm nuts, but in 98, Seahorn tears his ACL tragically in a preseason game returning kicks. All offseason, he was training with Todd Marinovich's father and doing all this weird weightlifting. And he put on like 30 pounds. He went from like 190 to 220 when he came back. He looked like a linebacker, and he started pulling all these muscles in his legs and everything. And I thought, what the hell kind of training are you doing? And I just think it's that. That's the first person I remember doing that. And I just think, like Chris said, that type of training is so prevalent now. And I know they watch their calories, and these guys are all over them. But I don't, like Chris said, I don't think they're training. I don't know if they're training for football anymore.
Yeah, Trevor. I mean, in training camp, they got these little devices on them to make sure they're not running more than a quarter mile or 400 feet or 300, 200 yards. I mean, what are we doing here?
But it's like, what are the odds that Isaiah Wilson gets some minutes this season? Or is it just being hopeful that he gets in?
Well, Isaiah Wilson? Well, he lost. Look, yeah, I got to be honest tackle. With you. Yeah, when he first came here, Isaiah, I said, there's no way you're going to see this kid this year. He looked like a house. He's trimmed down. He's working hard. You might see him at guard. They're flexing him. They're playing him at guard and tackle in practice. So is there a chance? Well, look, they went with Corey Cunningham last week after Pert got hurt. But now that Pert's down, I think you might see some reps out of Wilson, either at guard or tackle coming up. I think you might see him get some reps. Not at Pert's down. Right, not at Pert's out. Yeah, because you got Corey Cunningham's going to be playing right tackle. You know, I can see him working in with Isaiah a little bit Sunday.
All right, that's all I got. I'll let someone else get in.
Trevor, thanks, man. Appreciate it, bud.
Thank you, Trevor.
Take care of yourself. All right, now we got the biggest Daniel Jones fan probably on earth. Brian Porras, baby.
You know, my name was ringing out from your lips there, Jerry. So often, you know, we get so many shout-outs, I felt obligated.
Oh, of course, man. How you doing? Yeah.
I mean, I'm all right, man. I'm all right. I just, you know, I just want to say first, you know, I feel for you guys. I feel for all the fan base. I feel the same way. I feel sad. You know, I could hear it in your voice there. And it's, you know, when you do the opens from the post-game reactions. And it's not because, you know, I sent you a Daniel Jones jersey instead of another Yankee candle. But it's tough. So I get it. So, you know, we just got to mull through it and get to the draft, get a new GM in here and a new offensive
team. Nah, Dave's done a good job. He deserves another 4 years.
Yeah, you can't even say that without laughing.
Well, it's funny because someone called in before, Brian, and said they enjoy the podcast more than the games, and I felt like saying, so do we. You know, like talking to Chris for an hour, shooting the shit, talking about this team rather than watching it. So go ahead. I'm sorry, man.
No, that's okay. So I had a question. So this came up. I was in a Twitter space last night, and we were talking about, you know, the offensive coordinator position that will hopefully open up here as we go through. And, you know, we need a new scheme. I think everyone kind of hopefully understands that by now. We need a scheme that speaks to our, you know, our strengths. And it's the modern NFL offense. And this scheme is broken the way it's currently constituted.
Yes.
So the question came up about how attractive is the OC position, given the fact that, you know, Judge could be a lame duck. You could argue that, right? If we have another disaster next year, you know, are they going to, he could get launched and a potential OC coordinator may look at that and say, oh, well, you know, do I want to walk into that situation with a gun pointed at my head? My point when that was brought up was, my answer to that was that, you know, this is still New York. This is still the New York Giants. It's an iconic franchise in the NFL. And that, you know, and what better way to burnish your credentials when you want to advance your career to say that you went into a real bad situation with the Giants offense, and even made it serviceable, right? It took something broken and made it serviceable. And oh, God forbid, we actually make it actually a strength, make it something that actually can be a reason why we're winning games next year. And so, just want to get your take on that sort of dichotomy between the two schools of thought on the OC coordinator position.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go, Jerry?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, like you just said, you know, somebody asked us about GM a little while ago about, you know, who would want to come here. And I said, look, this is still the Giants. All right, this is still New York. It's still the Giants. So it's funny you say that because as far as the OC, you know, you're going to get a guy that's going to get promoted to OC. You're not getting a lateral move. Nobody's coming from the Lions or somebody coming from the Chargers. Okay, he's going to be OC. No, you're not getting a lateral. It was very strange when Graham did that lateral move 2 years ago. That was very strange. So you're not getting a lateral move from another team. You're going to get a guy that's going to get promoted. Everybody in this business as a coach, when you're an assistant, you want to get promoted.
Right.
Nobody's going to turn that down because they're going to be thinking about, well, what if it doesn't work out? No, you're going to be thinking like, okay, I'm going to go in there, and we're going to get a functional offense, and we're going to succeed, and everything's going to be gone with Judge. And nobody's going to be thinking about, well, you know, do I really want this because Judge might not be hit? No, they're not going to be thinking that. It's – whoever gets hired as an offensive, and Freddie Kitchens is not coming back as offensive coordinator.
Right.
Okay. Whatever the hell Freddie's doing next year, whatever the hell he does, just, I don't want to see him anymore either. Okay. He's not coming back with Judge next year.
Right.
Okay. So whoever gets it is going to be kid, maybe somebody from college. That's a coordinator in college. Yeah. Obviously, if you're a coordinator for, say, argument's sake, Oregon, and now you become up with the Giants, that's a huge step. Up.
Sure.
You know, Oregon and the Giants, no matter, even though the Giants' offense is worse than Oregon's, but still, you know, it's still a step up. You know, so whoever right. it is, it's going to be a step up. That's the, you know, nobody's going to be turning that down because of, well, I don't know what's going to happen in the future. That's not the way it works with these guys. You know, they don't think along the lines of that. You know?
Brian, I would look at it like if I'm the offensive coordinator coming in, if I can make the Giants offense move and productive, that's a resume builder right there alone.
You might be in the Hall of Fame, Jerry.
Yeah, I mean, that alone, it's like, oh, I can put this on my resume. I mean, the Giants function. So,
yeah.
But it's a good question. Yeah.
So don't worry. I wouldn't worry about that, Brian. Yeah. Guys don't think along the lines. They get promoted to coordinator is a big step, big promotion, you know. And the next step, if you do, obviously, if you succeed, is what everybody basically wants, and that's head coach. So don't worry about that. They don't think along the lines of, oh, I don't know, Judge, you know what, I'm not going to take. No, that's not the way they think, these guys. That's a big time promotion to be running offense, you know.
So. I agree. That was my thought process as well. And I'll just say for the record, not to be, you know, the new Lisa, but, you know, I think that, you know, these, and I love Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
But are you going to rip Eli Manning before we start?
Well, no. Actually, what's going to happen, guys, is, Chris, is what's going to happen is that in 15 years, after a couple of Super Bowls, you know, we're going to be the same thing where I'm going to be the new Lisa. So Jerry's going to be taking shots at Daniel Jones, and then you're going to be pushing back and saying my name. History is going to repeat itself.
Listen, I hope you're right.
So you want Daniel back?
Oh, yeah.
Jerry. I mean, yeah, Chris.
Am I missing something? I'm sorry. Am I missing something? Are you a big-time Jones supporter,
Duke.
Jerry?
He's a Duke guy.
Oh, you're a Duke guy. Yeah. Oh, okay, bro. I didn't know that. I'm sorry, bro. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, you guys drafted my quarterback. You know, I've been a Patriots fan since the 70s, you know, in the Stanley Morgan days. You know, you'll remember that name.
Steve Grogan days,
exactly. So, sometimes, you know, Giants fan base has been very welcoming to me. I've only had a few try to call me and say, well, you can't be a Giants fan and a Patriots fan. But, you know, that's really been the minority.
You live up in where do you live, Bri?
Asheville, North Carolina.
Yeah, oh, you're in North Carolina. Are you always in North Carolina?
No, I lived in Westboro, Massachusetts, when I was a little kid. So I kind of
you're a Red Sox fan.
Red Sox, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, I love you, Red Brian. Now I know I love you now.
Yeah, so it's you and me, Chris, against Jerry,
good
right
for
there.
You.
So
yeah, me and you against the world, brother.
That's
Brian. Real quick, you in the medical field?
I am, actually. I'm in medical devices, so we make a device that treats brain cancer, brain tumors.
Nice. Yep. I saw the scrubs.
Didn't know that, Brian. Good for you, brother. Yeah. Nice job. Real heroes of this world, brother.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's great to talk to you guys. Again, you know, I'm glad to talk to you, and just hang in there. And I like the sentiment you expressed that often also. Hang in there. Things are going to get better, and let's go get them next year, and let's get the draft
going. Man.
Let's roll.
How about your boy Jones, too?
You know,
Daniel.
you know, my guy Jones, he's going to be just fine. I mean, let's get something that's an actual offensive line, right? Let's get a good scheme. So he's not running for his life back there, and he's just made just fine. I mean, you saw the Saints game, right? He threw for 400 yards, man. Come on, halfway functional offensive line, and
Brian, I could tell you this, bro. And I can tell you this, Brian, getting to know Daniel the last few years, he's just an absolute great kid, bro. It kills me that the kid, you know, is going through some things, and I hope he succeeds. And, you know, I'm pretty sure he's going to get another year, and I hope he succeeds because I love the kid. He's just a great kid, Brian. He really is. So,
all right, guys, you can take care.
Brian, take care of yourself, buddy. Of course, we got two more, then we'll do picks. All right, bud.
Yep.
Got Cody Hardy chiming in.
Hey guys,
Cody, what's up, man?
Cody, what's up?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, dude.
I got you. Hear us?
Perfect. Yeah, I haven't done this before.
Cool.
First thing I wanted to say, a few weeks back, I asked you guys to give a shout out to my mom, who passed away a few weeks ago. And
oh, that's you. Okay.
Yeah.
We're sorry about your loss, brother.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Were you the one who sent us a picture of you and your mom?
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Sorry, man.
No, thank you. I appreciate it. I just want to say I played that for my grandparents and stepdad today because there's been a little more, and they were all very appreciative, and it made them quite emotional just to let more people know about my mom. And so just thank you again.
So your mom's parents are alive.
Yes. Yes, they are. They're both almost 80.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. They're only daughters. So it's been,
it's been a rough time.
Yeah. Yeah. But, one thing I wanted to show you that I thought you guys would appreciate, especially Chris, which I know is great for podcasting, showing stuff.
Is this a Red Sox thing?
There's a, if you can see it, we got the Giants hat and the Red Sox hat on that side.
I knew it, Jerry. I knew he was going Boston there.
Yeah. That's two callers in a row. I can just hang up now if you guys want.
Your whole family's Red Sox fans, Cody?
No, everyone else besides my mom and I are Red Sox. Yankees fans. My mom and I are Red Sox fans. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, so your mom and you are the Red Sox fans.
Correct.
Got you. Okay. All right. All right.
Yeah. I followed her and I got led astray from my grandparents.
Well, you're in better shape now, though. I mean, so your mom was smart, man.
Hey, it's always changing. It's always changing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as far as the Giants go, the thing that drives me the most insane with this whole thing, so personnel is clearly a problem. Gettleman will be gone. We all know that.
Yeah.
It was time for Shurmur to go when he went, right? Mm. It needed to be done. But at least the thing he specialized in was offense, and the offense looked good at times while he was the coach.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Joe Judge, his two things. I was the wide receiver coach at one point. Wide receivers haven't scored a touchdown since week 7 when Dante Pettis scored.
Yeah.
And special teams coordinator. I said coordinator word. And I haven't seen a good kick return. Our punter's not very good. They do this crap that Jerry was talking about where they try to trick the team. They're going to go for it on fourth down. Yeah. So what does John Mara see in Joe Judge? What is that thing that makes him in love? Because I don't get it.
Yeah, he just loves the way he's detailed and he's organized. And he said, look, the big question is if Joe Judge has got everybody bullshit in the building. I got to be honest with you. Because, yeah, you know what? The big question is going to be, yeah, you're great from Monday to Saturday, but what are you doing on Sunday, Joe? And right now, he hasn't shown he could do anything on Sunday. Last year, he did. This year, he hasn't. Mara is a guy that's he got fooled by Gettleman. He's been fooled by people in the past. And now we got to hope that he's not totally fooled by Judge. But like you said, Cody, what has he done this year and the way this team has looked to make you say, oh, I still love this guy? Because right now, probably the only guy on the planet that could say that is John Mara. You know?
Cody, the coverage teams are great. I don't know what to tell you. You're right. I mean, you're exactly right. And why Riley Dixon is still on the team? I mean, is it a thing where if you release him after the season, you save more cap money? Maybe, but... You know, he is killing them. He started killing them. It seemed like Atlanta, on a consistent basis, almost every week, you needed a big punt from him, and he came up short. And you're like, wow, that's special teams. Like you said, returns, okay. He likes to kick them short sometimes. It seems like when he kicks them short, they still get to the 25-yard line. It would beat a dead horse on here with Judge, man. It is what it is. He hopefully with an infusion of talent, because it looks like he's probably coming back, he can do more. But, yeah, you're right. No, I got nothing for you, Cody. I'm sorry, man.
Hey, as long as he's a Giant, I'll root for him. So,
yeah, right.
You know, let's.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, we'll see. But he'll probably be back.
Yeah. But I don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you got more people in here. So, belated Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
You too, and, Cody. Take care, man. Hang in there, brother.
Cody, hang in there and get through the holidays, bud. All right, man?
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care, buddy.
Take care, man.
And we got one more, Chris. Dubs Drivel. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Oh, man. Loud and clear.
Yeah, hey, you're good. Can you hear us?
Yeah, right on. Sweet. So my comment was more kind of just tongue-in-cheek. Just I can't remember if it was last year or 2019 that I asked you guys. I don't remember if it was for a podcast or not. But, hey, when should I come out and see the Giants in person? And y'all said, nah, why don't you give it a minute?
Saved you some money.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
Obviously, the dumpster fire that we've been experiencing since then. But no, and I do have a question that I know you don't know the answer to, but why, for the offense especially, obviously the defense has been doing okay, right? They've been doing well, but why are adjustments so hard? Why can we not adjust to the game? It's like we've got this game plan, however asinine it is, but we're going with it and nobody can tell us that we're doing wrong.
I don't know. I don't know what they do half the time. When I feel the running game's there, they'll get away from it. They'll start running when they shouldn't run it. They played the Chargers 31st in the league against the run when they went into that game. They'd come out throwing. And then they run in the second half when they're down 30. I feel Devontae Booker's running better than Saquon. They run Saquon more than Devontae. Devontae's getting 8 yards a pop. They go back to Saquon, who's getting 2.
Like Chris, I think you said it the other day. They get big gains in the running game, and then all of a sudden, it's just nobody in the backfield and shotgun. Like, who the hell's calling that play? Like, what are you, crazy with Fromm or with Glennon? You're calling that? It's play call. It's talent. It's play calling. It's everything. But to Chris's point, things are working and they don't stay with it. And why not? What? This isn't that complicated. You know. And for guys who spend, I don't know, 17 hours a day at this, this is what you got. So
yeah. Yeah, I mean, you've seen it the last few times. They'll be 3rd and 3. They'll get a 7-yard chunk run, and they'll go empty. They'll go empty backfield. Like, what are we doing, Freddie? And I blame Judge for that, too. The buck stops with Joe. Like, what are you – like, you know, this is your guy. And you know what? You can't blame Jason Garrett anymore. This offense has been worse on the Freddie Kitchens. Worse. So, you know what? You're blaming Jason Garrett stuff. Can't do that anymore, Joe. This is your guy, your Mississippi State guy and all that crap coming in here. Guess what? This office is worse on the kitchen than Garrett. And Judge, like you said, the Judge has to get involved. I know every detail, everything that's going on with the team. I could name every player, every this, that. Okay, so what are you doing here? I mean, at what point do you jump in? Freddie, what are we doing? You know, like, why are we going empty on 3rd and 2 when you just got an 8? Why are we telling them it's a pick? I mean, you know what, Freddie? You can run the ball on 3rd and 2. You know, and then getting back to him and his game management, it's just, look, it's a total shit show right now. And Judge, there's a lot of question marks around Judge, bro. Game management, game plans, in-game adjustments. You know, it's just, it's a huge question mark, man. You know, and he's going to get another year to prove himself. I probably pretty much guarantee that. But there's a ton of question marks, man, on an offensive side of the ball. You know, I'm not worried about Graham and his side. You know, he's not perfect, Patrick. But you know what? He's got different things going on. He's got guys challenging. Jerome Henderson will challenge him, change it up. When Graham gets a little crazy at times with certain schemes, Henderson will calm him down. You know, but on the offensive side of the ball, I could tell you this. It's just like Freddie. Like if Judge says, "Hey Freddie, you know, go to be a pumpkin pie instead of a play." Oh yeah, okay, that sounds good. Yeah, what are we doing?
Yeah,
this is an amateur outfit, bro. This is an amateur outfit. You don't want to believe me, dude? Look at the product on the field. Look at the product on the field, man. This offense lately is high school level. I could get a team from Bergen County and get more yards against the Eagles.
Yes.
Okay, this is embarrassing. What's going on?
Well, and that's the frustrating thing, right? I'm sitting here going, I'm having the same conversations in my mind anyway. I'm regurgitating what you guys have already said on the pod, but these are the same types of thoughts I have watching my local high school. We're supposed to be better, right? So do the Giants get a more of a pass because they're a class organization?
Not
right?
Anymore.
Do we go, they'll do better.
Yeah, not anymore. I think 3-4 years ago they got that pass. I think now it's too long where there's no success.
Nobody's giving them a pass. I mean, the fan base ain't giving them a pass.
No.
The problem is that in the building, guys are getting passes. Maverick gives – nobody's held accountable. I mean, they've shit draft after shit draft after shit draft after shit draft, and nobody's held accountable. And trust me, if the media wasn't coming down – so much on Gettleman, and the fan base wasn't so livid over Gettleman, trust me, Mara would have given him another year. He would have given him another draft. I mean, nobody's held account. Like Carl Banks says, I mean, there's too many people on scholarships in this building, brother. I mean, if I'm the owner, I'm sitting there like, hey, look at my draft board. Hey, you're the director of scout, college personnel, director of college scouting. Come here, Chris Bennett. I want to talk to you.
Oh, what's up, owner? What's up, Mr. Biz?
Hey, shitbag. What are we doing here? What are we doing here? How many? Let me ask you something. How many Pro Bowls have you drafted for me?
Yeah, but you know what? I know your brother, and you know they say I'm a good guy. And I could.
Yeah, that's nice. You know what? Get your stuff and get out of the building right now. Out now. Give me your keypad and get the hell out of my face. Because I tell you why, this organization has been a shit show since 2012. Eli Manning, you're lucky he's not living. He's lucky he's not dribbling out of the side of his mouth in a coma right now. The beatings he was catching behind that offensive line that never got built.
Never, yeah.
But and people talk a great. But people talk a great, great. They talk great in that building.
Hey, Mr. Mara, you know, let me tell you something. I scouted this guy in 2008. You know, he turned out to be pretty good. You know, man. You know,
guys, it's what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
And that building, there's scholarships. There's too many people on scholarships in that building. Nobody's held accountable. And it's a disgrace what's going on. And now it's leaking out in social media from ex-scouts, ex-people in the building, everything that's going on in that building. Okay? There's a reason why, my man, a reason why this team is 4-12 every year, 5-11, all that crap, for the last 8-9 years. There's a reason. Okay? They cannot evaluate talent. Okay?
It's just unfathomable that it's taken them so long that now we have to be proactive, or that we're still being reactive, right? Yeah. Everything has to get so bad. I don't know. I don't have any answers either, but maybe, you know, I'll just repeat what everybody else has said. You guys give us a measure of calm and, you know, just, I don't know about settle down, because like I said, you know, I'm right there with you yelling, but it is so difficult on Sundays.
Yeah, it is. It's tough. It's the toughest it's ever been. Yep. But Dubs, thanks for chiming in, man. Really appreciate it. You're going to be the last call of the night, pal.
And right on.
Really appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys. Keep up the good work.
I see that nice note to Cody too, buddy. Classy act. Nice job by you.
Yeah, we'll good job, y'all. Buddy. Take care, man. Dubs.
Bye bye.
All right, Chris. Let's go picks. Dude, we're an hour. We are an hour and 20 in. We still got 11 people in the audience.
Oh,
you ready? Sorry. No, we're good. Sorry. It's an hour and 20 in. All right, pick time, buddy. Ready?
Yeah.
Jags, Patriots. Okay.
Patriots.
Yeah. Rams, Ravens.
Good Rams.
One. Rams. Bucks, Jets. Bucks. Wow, these are easy this week. Falcons at Bills.
Bills.
Yeah, me too. Chiefs at Bengals.
Chiefs.
No, no, Bengals at home.
There you go.
Dolphins. That's a loss. Dolphins at Titans.
I'll say that. Okay. What?
Dolphins at Titans.
Titans.
So the streak ends at 7 for the Dolphins?
I'm sorry, Jerry?
The streak ends at 7 for the Dolphins, huh?
Yeah, I think it will this week, yeah.
Raiders, Colts.
Colts.
By the way, I'll take the Dolphins, and I will take the Colts as well. Eagles at Washington.
Eagles.
Yeah, me too. That sucks. 4 o'clock, Broncos at Chargers.
Chargers.
Chargers at home. 4 o'clock, Texans at 49ers.
49ers.
This is our only chance to move up this game right here over the next, out of the ones we named.
Right.
Lions at Seahawks, 425.
Seahawks.
I agree. Cardinals at Cowboys. Cowboys are hitting their stride.
Cowboys.
Me too. Panthers at Saints.
I'll go with Carolina.
Yeah, me too. Vikings at Packers. 8 o'clock Sunday night. Packers, yes. But we're going to put the Vikings out of their misery. Browns, Steelers, Sunday or Monday night.
I'll go with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, me too. And finally, 1 o'clock, Giants at Bears, Chris.
I think we talked about. I'll go in a Bears with a close one.
Yeah, the close one, huh? Really?
I just think I don't think the Bears are going to score enough to make it like a 31. You know, they don't really. Although they had a pretty decent game last week, but I'm going to go. Yeah, I think it'll be a 17-10 game.
Yeah, I was going to say 20-3 Bears.
All right. Yeah, that sounds right. Hey, look,
we're not scoring.
That could very well be the way the Giants.
We'll get like a turnover on a kickoff, and we'll kick a field goal or something.
Yeah.
That was fun stuff, dude. Good job by you.
All right. Thanks,
man. Anything else?
No. Yeah. I was going to say enjoy the game, but I guess that's out.
No matter what, guys, we'll be back Monday to recap. And Chris will have a really good podcast next. We'll have a really good podcast for you next week. We'll figure out what day that's going to be. So whether we do it Monday or whatever, buddy. Can't wait. I'm excited.
Monday will be the recap, and then we'll do next week. Yeah.
Cool. All right, guys.
Happy New Year, right? Happy New Year.
Oh, yes. Everybody. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. Happy New Year, everybody.
That's cool. I know. It doesn't feel like a holidays anymore. Christmas is all.
No, it doesn't. I know. It's right. You build up to that one day, and then once it ends, it's like, all right, when's Memorial Day?
It's so true, right?
It really is. All right, guys. To order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com. And for a digital subscription, go to magzter.com, M-A-G-Z-T-E-R. All right, guys, hang in there. Probably going to be ugly again Sunday, but Sundays are Giant days, guys. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody. Happy New Year.